going here. Welcome to Ever Beyond, 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 on Wolf Spirit Radio and everbeyond.info. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond,
beyond, beyond, beyond.
Welcome to Ever Beyond. It is the 12th of May 2013, and finally we're here, May 2013. We'll see what happens. The Farsight Institute have made some interesting predictions about the next few weeks, and the Webbot has projected various things to befall the world in the next few weeks. There is a sense of tension mounting, and I have no idea really what's going to happen. I don't think anybody really has an idea of what's going on right now in terms of the atmosphere of the planet, where the sun rises and sets. I don't know if anybody's been noticing. You know, people tend not to notice. I'm not looking up into the sky, and I'm not watching the sky, tend to discount the people who do watch the sky, like the indigenous people and all that stuff. And things are shifting. Something's happening. Tonight, my guest is slated to be Shari Edwards, but I haven't been able to raise her just yet, although her system says she's online, she may be on a different computer. And hopefully she hasn't forgotten all about me. or she's done the time zone thing. I confirmed it. Anyway, so we'll see what happens. I'll just keep that beeping away. Yeah, you can hear that beeping in the background now. So, where should we go? Been an interesting timey-wimey kind of week. It sort of sped up and slowed down, you know, kind of time's getting a bit lumpy from what it seems to be. How are we all? How's our health? I would say that right now you'll be addressing core health issues, and they can be mental, emotional health as well. So they would be issues of deep trauma. This is something that I'm going to be talking with Katie Galanti in a couple of weeks' time. We're going to be doing a kind of deep trauma special with the idea of working ways of treating our PTSD, not just our personal PTSD, but our sort of national PTSD, like the whole post 9/11 world, is that we've all got PTSD. That's the whole thing. That's the big problem. So it's very nice to be here. Yeah, I hope you enjoyed the last hours of music. I just dipped into my collection of old songs. I like that one too, and then I linked them all thematically. I don't know if anybody knew that there was a sort of theme link going from one song to another. Anyway, this is an interesting situation that I've never been in. If anybody wishes to call in and discuss any of my favorite subjects at hand, with maybe a leaning towards frequency and healing. And I mean, I can certainly talk about the experiences that I've had using frequency to heal. It is quite an astounding thing that that happens. It would be interesting to talk to anybody who's listening. You can call in on 775-657-5973. So that's 657-5973. Oh dear, I can't read this. My girlfriend has on theta to delta wave. She enters the peaceful cycle, though she can't hear it. And she's got Wolf Spirit Radio as well at the same time. So, right, we've got to make sure we've got a good program going on there. Okay, everything you've heard from your authorities and priests and doctors has been a lie. And you can wake up from the whole dream of the Matrix, of the great illusion, to see reality as it is. It's not very pretty, but you'll get used to it. How about that? I hope that's fine. So, put me completely off. So, yeah. So I'm still waiting for Shari to come on. And until that time, if anybody wants to pop in give me a call, 775-657-5973, or wolfspirit.switchboard on Skype, you can call me on... No, no, you can't call me. It'd be great. I'd like to actually have a telephone connection into the mixing desk. That would be quite cool. Yep, I do indeed have the Wolf Spirit Radio thing. Thank you, Dave. But I have no Shari Edwards, which is unusual. I wonder what happened. Let me just check. We just confirm Sunday, May the 12th. That's today. Sunday, 12th of May, 6 to 8 Eastern. That's 3 to 5 Western Pacific. Yep. Oh, okay. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Anything coming through? I'm just checking my emails just to make sure there's no last minute issues going on here. Oh well. Yeah. Oh well, there we go. Yeah. Do you want to call in Modius? Did you ever hear those studies, how music affects plants? Yeah, I did. I heard, there's the classic one of, one of them was being played Mozart, and the other one was being played the theme tune from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which probably wasn't like Mozart. And so, yeah, it's kind of, you'd imagine so. The other thing, what I think is even more interesting than that, that music affects plants, is that high frequency music, or music with these high frequency indeed twittering sounds in music, actually caused the plants to flower more, and so what eventually they got it, you know, because of course, you know, it's the bird's song is what makes the flowers come out. And I think that's a very interesting connection. It's these high frequencies, like birdsong, that makes the plants grow flowers. Oh. Yes, symphonic and milk cows like music too. Smooth music helps them release their milk more smoothly. I listen to old Wolf Spirit Radio archives when gardening myself. So I still have no Shari Edwards here, and Chris, are you there? Give us a call. Let's call in. So, I'm going to give Sherry just one last call in. If anybody would like to call and be part of the show tonight, I'd be very happy to speak to you. Yes. So, I mean, there's so much going on. Where can we go? I've got a feeling that something's going to happen in the next 2 weeks. I mean, we're now starting to get false flags. What's this one? There was another one, 12 people shot and all this stuff. It's crazy. They're really kind of upping the ante and making it almost like you get numb to it. I think that's the plan, is you get numb to the murder and killing, so they can do more and more and more. That's what it's about. More and more and more. More and more and more. So, more and more and more, and no Sherry Edwards, and nobody else calling in. Oh. Oh. Lepsy calling after making a brew. Okay. That's good. Yes. Sonic Bloom, System of Music and Field Plants, has bird Twitter. All right, so you can actually get the music. Get the music and play them to your plants and make them flower more. Well, there's probably people who do these flowering competitions and they play their music, they use this technology to make the sounds. They've probably got it down and find exactly which frequencies make the sounds. And it would probably have a lot to do with the colour as well. I'd love to see that. So that's a question we can ask Sherry once she's on the line. About the making of sound to create flowers and things like that. So, where else do we have? Do like having someone to talk to, even though they don't say anything. I think that's why a lot of people have co-hosts. It's often very hard to speak to nobody in particular. Just good to have a conversation. Music and Fola spray. Yes. So, yeah. So, hopefully, Chris Noonan will call in and we'll have a little chat. We have... we've got no one, nothing coming in on the email. So, I can't imagine what might be going wrong apart from time zone or Sherry's double booked herself. The bird Twitter opens cells on the bottom of the leaves. Oh, how cool is that? So it gets the phone line is busy. Oh, no. Yeah, shouldn't be. I'll bring Chris in and see where we go from here. Chris, where are you? Where are you, Chris? Chris. There we are. This will get him. Hope he's on the right computer. Beep. Yeah. Calling. I'm hearing this sound all through the show so far. I love that. Good stuff. Mr. Noonan. Good evening. Let me just adjust your volume. Yes, hello.
Good evening.
Good evening, good evening. How are you today?
I'm not too bad, thank you. Here to save the day, kind of.
Well, it's good to talk to you anyway.
You too. It's been a while. It's good for a catch-up as well, but I guess we can combine that live on air.
That's right. Well, you're our man on the ground in London town.
Ground Zero, as Max Kaiser would call it.
Ground Zero, the place where everything's happening, and it's 15:15. Do we have a Leprechaun report?
Do we have a Leprechaun report?
Yeah, what's grinding your gears this week?
What's grinding my gears in the Illuminati banking financial capital of the world?
The
city of London, United Kingdom, planet Terra. I guess it depends what angle you want to kind of approach it. What kind of facet of the crystal you kind of wish to home in on? I guess. In terms of things kind of like financially, there's so many things going on, a lot of the same old crud. I guess our good contact and friend Marty, that we both interviewed before in London on your previous show, The Twilight Zone, he would be more kind of excelled in giving the lowdown on what's kind of going on financially. But I'm not too sure. I mean, what particular kind of like angle would you like to kind of do the report from? As in, kind of what's kind of cracking in London in general? Kind of what my feelings on London and the UK in general, or how would you like to go about it?
Well, I mean, there's things that are going on. For instance, I haven't been back to London for a couple of years now since I last saw you.
About a year or two. About 2 years now.
About 2 years. Things change, they've become like various zones in London that you can't drive your car in anymore. Things like that. Mm-hmm. London's security gets a bit tighter,
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, I guess in terms of security, things are tightening up. I was at London Liverpool Street today, and it took 3 armed officers of the, the City of London Police, or the Metropolitan Police as they're better known as, armed with, each guy with, 2 pistols and, and a huge submachine gun each, to ward off, a preacher dressed in white robes who just had a speaker and a mic on him, kind of like a boom mic on him, and just doing his kind of Sunday preaching on the steps of Liverpool Street Station, on the kind of the back end of it. And of course, that's one thing I've kind of noticed about London. Of course, the Boston bombings was quite a stimuli to that as well, that there was that kind of gradual awareness, that gradual kind of increase in security and paranoia as well, and how easily it is kind of connected, for example, let's kind of go in a little bit into the connection between Boston and London, etc., which was kind of that was kind of conjoined by the BBC, or the Beeb, as we call them. And I was watching this unfolding, a lot of listeners were, in the United States and in the UK, you have a newscaster in the BBC in the studio. It's like straight away, this event was unfolding, it's like automatically it's they're making this connection. It's like, well, we have the the London kind of like marathon kind of happening next Sunday. It's like instantaneously, two very different places in the world, separated by kind of like thousands of miles. But then the kind of the BBC alluding to, oh gosh, well, what if this, and kind of, and what if that, and you're kind of sitting there, kind of going, whoa, come on, guys, because alluding to that, kind of connecting these kind of like these two places separated so, kind of like far apart, is kind of instigating that there's some sort of like kind of hive mind or kind of like group involved in this that that could have been possibly behind, the Boston bombings and what's going to happen in London as a result. So that's something I've grown increasingly aware of, is the kind of the power of words and the power of kind of suggestion and kind of perception that's kind of used by MSM and the mainstream media.
So let's grab that one by the tail.
Go on, it's.
Very interesting thing you bring up there. So you're saying that the BBC, in their strange copycatted attitude towards American news, is doing great big specials on the false flag at Boston, saying it's all real. And make, I mean, how is it coming across? Are people buying it? Do you, can you know, do people say, oh, what a terrible thing happened in Boston and all that? Is it still, you know, are people still buying it? Do you know? I mean, in your circles?
Well, obviously, kind of, it's kind of, you know, the whole thing in Boston, kind of course, it has naturally kind of died down. People kind of get back into the kind of whole MO of kind of distraction, you know, kind of like their own personal lives and whatnot. They couldn't be asked in kind of asking some kind of like questions, using their minds kind of like a bit more, kind of going, well, hold on a second, that's not right. I mean, it was just that, again, just to go back to what I said, Jeremy, is that, you know, kind of like looking at the BBC and the newscaster, this guy, you know, and I was like literally talking to him, like, and I was watching this like kind of like live on my laptop, you know. I don't have a TV where I'm based right now, you know, and it's like I was literally saying to the screen, mate, how can you join this up? How can you kind of say this to, like, to listeners? And we have this marathon that's happening kind of like next Sunday. It's like, really, who is doing the terrorizing, like, right now? You know, if I was ever to be a newscaster or something like that in some sort of other kind of parallel universe, would I really kind of be so impromptu with that? Like, you know, to kind of connect these, like, events to, wouldn't that kind of scare people? That's not really kind of good for people. You know, I really question these things. Sorry, Jeremy, just to... Can you just take me back to what you were initially asking me there? I just kind of went off.
Yeah, yeah. So what I'm saying is, are people buying this second-hand propaganda? This second-hand false flag?
Yes. Yes, they are. But people are increasingly asking more questions. Even, I will use my own dear and my only sister as an example. She sent me...
The best example.
She sent me a Facebook, and it was like one of these links with, like, you know, one of these people very cleverly, they kind of got, like, lots and lots of kind of pictures of, you know, kind of Kraft International and all the anomalies and all the questions visually that occurred from the Boston bombings and whatnot, and the guy who had his, like, legs blown off and all of these particular kind of, you know, grotesque things that really just didn't add up. And she wouldn't, like, normally kind of have an open mind towards this kind of sort of stuff that was kind of sent on to me, you know. And I was like, kind of interesting. So people are looking at this unfolding, they're buying it, but they are gradually asking more questions when people are actually, like you or I, Jeremy, we could kind of go, no, hold on a second, look at this very deductively, very logically, and let's go back to the start. And it's like, well, why is this guy here? Why does he have this cap on with the Punisher symbol? Why is he standing in a position like with a backpack? Why does he have this? Why does he have that? Why does this space wagon of a vehicle come along with, like, you know, tons and tons of, you know, surveillance equipment and kind of satellite equipment on top of the vehicle? Why do they start, like, kind of ripping into stuff at the Boston Marathon, like they're looking for something, or they're trying to kind of conceal or kind of like hide evidence? Why? So again, Jeremy, yes, people are still buying it. They are buying it more than ever, but they are gradually asking questions. They are kind of like listening to, you know, a lot, like a lot of our listeners here. They are listening to our deductive, intelligent, and logistical kind of like questions. It's like, hold on, you know, it's like, this does not add up. You know, it's like the hole in the Pentagon, you know, during 9/11. It does not fit. Therefore, there's got to be some sort of other explanation, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, either there's something wrong, or the story's wrong, or yeah. they're lying to us. But they couldn't be lying to us. Well, now we've discovered because, that, you know, they've been lying. Everybody's been lying to us more and more and more and more and more.
Yeah, it's interesting because you still get people kind of who will staunchly defend that. You know, that the Twin Towers, they pancaked, and that, yeah, you know, the jet fuel kind of, you know, melted kind of the rods inside of the building, and they kind of, you know, liquefied and they collapsed and all of that. But, you know, there was a fire a couple of weeks, I think it was in Eastern Europe, it was in Russia, and the building was still standing, you know, and people were kind of screaming about this in social media, going, look, 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 this huge building did not collapse after hours and hours and hours of fire.
That's right. You could fly 20 jets into the World Trade Center and it still wouldn't fall over.
Yeah, and well, again, they just do not get it. It was up for...
Unless it's insured, of course. In which case, it will fall into a pile that is no higher than one story high. That was the trigger for the catastrophe bond on the Twin Towers.
Yeah. So there's a lot of things out there, Jeremy. It's so blatantly kind of like obvious to people, but people, again, they're finding it increasingly hard to kind of really think outside the box, to kind of peek their head from kind of outside the bubble that they're at. And that is difficult in places like, say, like London, New York, like kind of major kind of business and kind of, you know, metropolitan areas. But I guess the good news is that people are gradually asking more questions as a result of, you know, the Boston kind of like bombings, new findings on what's kind of, you know, been occurring with, you know, like 9/11 investigations and kind of and disclosure and stuff like that. People kind of, they don't consider you as barmy or kind of like batshit for kind of, you know, for alluding to kind of like logical things there. They're actually, well, you do have a point. And when you bring science, when you bring kind of physics into this, well, fair enough. People aren't kind of calling you batshit crazy or a conspiracy theorist as quick as they used to. You do have quite a large group of people that will still do that.
Well, here's the thing. I was talking to my friend this afternoon, and she has, how old is she? She must be a 13-year-old daughter. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the daughter was telling her mum how that there was a Facebook page made for the apparent victims of the Boston bombing.
Yeah.
That it was created a day before the bombing happened.
And I heard this.
Yeah. So this is how mainstream this is getting. The kids are going to know about it. The parents are going to poo-poo it. And, you know, eventually there'll be a fizzing from below.
Yeah, I mean, I'm, you know, kind of bring into consideration a lot that, you know, like, you know, you and I, Jeremy, we know quite a few people from the US, and lovely, lovely people they are at that, and a lot of them kind of like are listening, but, you know, a lot of them also are not as kind of open-minded as ourselves or our listeners with respect. That's absolutely fine. That's a space that they're in, but, you know, in terms of my own social media and Facebook and whatnot, and keeping, you know, connecting and sharing with people, I did know someone who was, you know, based in Boston, like an Irish guy who was based with his US missus, and you know, they've been in Boston for quite a few years now, and you know, they were given it, that whole kind of, you know, USA, USA, USA thing, woohoo, woohoo, you know, these, you know, all the police like deserve medals, they deserve a parade, they deserve this, this and that, like it's okay to come into our sacred space or kind of our houses and whatnot, like kind of, you know, without permission, it's okay to do this and that. I mean, all of that stuff is kind of quite kind of scary. The fact that, you know, that people aren't willing to kind of ask questions and actually go, well, no, you know, you go do your job. I don't really agree with you kind of coming into my house. There is no one here. I have searched it for kind of like top to bottom. Again, I think Boston was a kind of a prime example of kind of a mass group of people. It's like a mass experiment. People are willing to give up their civil liberties, like a huge, huge amount of the freedom and civil liberties, because of, you know, a couple of pictures that the FBI tell them that are correct.
Yeah, yeah, I love that. I absolutely love that. You know, don't look at anything else. Just look at these pictures, because these are the correct ones. These are the ones that we planned you to read.
Yeah, don't look at 4chan. Don't look at these other places. Don't ask questions. Just look at these two pictures. This is all you need to see, and this is all you need to know. And of course, they know that the mass consensus, the mass kind of herd, will look at these pictures and kind of go, okay, thumbs up. Go Boston Police, you know, and come into our house, no problem. Hey, we'll do anything we want for you. That is really dangerous stuff, and people really got to use their own civil rights. They got to use common law, I think, a lot more. And I think we are going to be tested everywhere in the world, well, especially in the UK as well.
gosh, you know, kind of not, you know, 1984 is so alive and kind of like well over here in terms of kind of CCTV and whatnot, that people, it's very important that people then they stop and they kind of go, well, no, hold on a second. You know, do you have a warrant? You know, am I being detained? What's this? What's that? You know, people have really got to ask questions and get people sweating here as well. It's just there's just this mass kind of like this mass narcolepsy, this mass kind of like sleep where people kind of think that, you know, kind of like authorities and all these others who are civil servants, obviously they can just run around and do what they kind of like what they blooming want. Like, I mean, right down to the fact that politicians, you know, are kind of civil servants, kind of, you know, voted in by the people. They are working for us, and it's up to us to kind of like to ask questions. It's like, no, we're paying you, and we demand. We're asking questions here and demanding answers. So I still find that there's a very, very small amount of people, definitely in the UK. Of course, the, you know, the number is growing, but people are not asking enough questions and demanding answers. I mean, it's for very, very simple things, Jeremy. Like, like a classic example, like, you know, a TV license guy, for example. You know, our good friends in the US, I believe Dave Corso told me before, like, you know, the guys in the US, they don't have to pay a TV license. You know, in the UK and Ireland, for example, it's absurd. You know, we have to pay this sort of like this ridiculous kind of like stealth tax. They knock on the door and they trying to kind of put the fear of God into you with like letters that are written a certain way to nudge money out of you and whatnot. So everything going from, you know, from TV licenses to kind of rail fines, to paying your tax, you know, to want right up to like, you know, a police officer knocks on the door, like knock, knock, knock. It's like, can I help you? It's like, you know, am I being detained? Do you have a warrant? Like, kind of, you know, what's your number? What?
Yeah.
That people do this a lot more to kind of, to obviously show them and the others out there. It's like, well, no, we're not going to kind of bend over really and kind of do what you ask kind of straight away. We kind of want to get more clarity. We want to get more logic. We want to get more deductive reasoning on this. We want to know that 1 and 2 equals 3. We want to know that A and B equals C, you know?
Well,
and I forget the name of the guy, but I saw a really great quote recently, and I'm just kind of paraphrasing. And it's the quote unquote, you know, the problem is not with civil disobedience. It is actually with obedience, you know, that has caused kind of like wars,
yeah,
and kind of corruption.
It's the obedience.
The name of that guy will come back to me. Yeah. Maybe one of the listeners can kind of type it in or whatever. It's just on the top of my head, but I thought that was so true. That particular guy and Noam Chomsky, like, wow. I would definitely recommend that people get kind of, you know, the literature of like Noam Chomsky and give it a good read.
Have a good chomp. So here's the thing. There is a connection between 9/11 and the TV license. Have you heard about this? There is a story.
Oh, I haven't. Please tell me. I'm intrigued already.
This one is juicy beyond measure. You will know what I'm talking about once I've spoken. So, here's the thing. We know that the BBC were involved in the whole 9/11 propaganda matrix. This is because of the TV news report where you see this poor news reporter reading out her pre-prepared script saying that Building 7 so sadly has fallen down, whereupon it's still standing there and you can see the little cartoon ring around it saying still here, you know. The TV licensing people brought this man to court. And so he thought, right, okay, they're bringing me to court. I'm going to bring this up. Because what his plea was is he doesn't want to donate money. You cannot, you know, it's illegal, isn't it, to donate money to a terrorist organization?
No, it is, yes.
So if you know that the BBC is a terrorist organization, you cannot knowingly give them money, can you? Not morally.
That's a very it's a very good point.
Okay.
Well laid out, Jay. I haven't heard it like that, but of course I'm aware of the female BBC reporter kind of like reading out that script.
Yeah, we all remember this script, this thing. Anyway, so this guy has beaten the TV licensing people. They threw it out of court.
Interesting.
He won the case. Actually, I don't know whether he won the case or they threw it out of court. I'm not sure. I will find out. Because it's a really important thing, and it's like a crack in the armor.
Yeah, absolutely, and another crack in the armor,
or another chink or crack, whatever way you want to call it, would be like a gentleman. And again, just kind of paraphrasing on this story, we had a census in the UK. I think it was probably about 2 years ago now, and of course they put up, you know, they plaster up in the underground kind of like tunnels, you know, our subway system for our American kind of brothers and sisters. They want to know what that means, the underground, and any which way they can. That basically, if you don't fill in this census, you could face up to a £1,000 fine and or imprisonment. I mean, how much more kind of fear-based for your information does that get? But there was a guy who didn't fill this in. They tried to make an example of him because the data, the contract itself was awarded to Lockheed Martin. So obviously the United Kingdom couldn't obviously kind of process and store this data themselves. They have to kind of outsource, they have to award contracts and work to other kind of companies. Now Lockheed Martin, of course, they do have premise in the United Kingdom, in this country here right now, but they awarded it externally to Lockheed Martin in the States. And of course they were going, no, you know, we don't have any kind of connection to the CIA and whatnot, and the FBI.
No, of course not.
Like heck they don't, you know. But a guy, you know, he was kind of nitpicked, this gentleman, and I remember reading about this in The Guardian at the time, and they obviously tried to charge him, you know, with all of this. But he ended up just paying a £75 fine and £200 in costs, you know, and his, you know, for the whole kind of array of things. And his main argument was like, look, why should I supply my information to a company, to an organization that is manufacturing weapons of mass destruction or weapons of destruction, you know, and killing machines, you know, that, you know, they're essentially exporting kind of, you know, weapons of war. They're exporting war, you know, to countries like all around the world. Why should I do that? Why should I let a company like that kind of have my information? No, he didn't get put in prison. He didn't get fined up to £1,000. He just got fined, what, I think it was £75, very affordable to him, and £200 for the court costs. And that was that. That was the only case out of so many people, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people who gave the fingers to the system. They were like, look, we're not going to do this, none away. Yeah, we'll stick down Jedi for a religion, whatever. It really is not kind of, you know, it's none of your business, really. It's really just kind of silly, you know. But that just gives you kind of like an idea, along with the TV license and lots of kind of other things. It really is kind of a continuous kind of tester that's kind of put out into the herd. And in my own country, like from Ireland, we kind of have this at the moment with not only do we have like a universal social charge, we have a thing which is coming out called the property tax. And this is kind of a hugely kind of ferocious debate now kind of back home, where it's basically the same, right, you're in this particular area of, say, Cork, for example, in Southern Ireland. You're living in this area. The houses here are worth about this amount of money, say between 300 to 500,000 euro. This is the amount of money you're going to have to pay for this year in your house. Let's say 500 euro, for example. And that is just crap. It's just not on. There are so many people who cannot, of course, afford that amount. It is illegal. It is immoral. It is unjust. It is against the constitution. And the current Prime Minister of Ireland, his name is Enda Kenny, and he said back at the time it was illegal, it was immoral, it was unjust to tax, you know, a person's property, you know, a person's home. And lo and behold, kind of, you know, post kind of like recession, they're actually they're doing this now. They're getting people to kind of bend over and make them responsible and see how much money they've got in their wallets, their purses, or whatever, to kind of say, well, look, austerity and all of this is your problem. Like, you're responsible, and we're going to have to like fill the gap. We're going to have to fill the pot now, and you're just going to have to pay this, or else we're going to send you to prison. And you know, and one of the or just the threat of that, you know, the threat of someone knocking on the door, putting cuffs in your hand. But that is the thing. This is it's just really a kind of like a psychological kind of like a tester, kind of like a nudge at people to kind of, you know, to extract money, to push people kind of towards, I think, kind of greater things in the future, kind of like greater kind of like sacrifice and whatnot, you know, and even kind of connecting that to it's also to what happened in Cyprus as well. It's that, you know, the future bailouts of countries, you know, and the sticking plaster kind of comes loose and they want to kind of stick it, you know, metaphorically back on.
Hey, Chris, what happened to you? Hey, Modius, give me a second. What just happened there?
Okay, no.
Yeah, so so there you go.
Oh, got you there.
Modius, would you mind turning off your player on the website?
One moment, I will.
We seem to have lost Chris.
I'm back. Oh, yeah, I got you there.
There we go. Thank you. You were right in the middle of something.
No, it's just basically, I was just kind of rounding off, and I will round off before we get on to our other before other guests kind of gel things together. Just a relation to the internet in Cyprus, where people were essentially had their money stolen from them. That the future bailouts, you know, that will kind of occur in Europe and indeed across the world. Cyprus, of course, was the tester for that. So they won't just give the banks money. They won't just give the government money. They'll be like, no, you've got to actually steal money from people. You've got to steal it from their accounts first before you actually before you get anything. That's essentially what I was just rounding up before I got cut off.
Right. Well, thanks. Yeah, indeed, because this thing that's going on in Cyprus is a catalyst. According to what one of my co-hosts, Andrew, is talking about, that this is a real turning point for the intelligences that exist within the Silicon banking matrix systems and all those things. They've all got a life of their own. Mm-hmm. They've got their own intelligence and consciousness, and things are happening in that world. We'll be seeing that soon. So yeah. I'd like to welcome on just now Modius. Hello. How do we call you?
Hi, I'm here. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Let me just take that a little bit down.
So, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you very well.
Very well. Okay, that's good.
That's good. So, are you in Amsterdam?
I'm pretty near Amsterdam, about 20 kilometers from it.
Excellent.
So, I love Amsterdam. I love urban areas, but I don't want to live in it. I live in a very quiet place. Reminds me of old Dutch city, a lot of nature around me, and that's how I like it.
Well, I have to agree, because that's the sort of situation that I'm in just now. So,
I can just take a train, and within 10-15 minutes, I'm either in Utrecht or Amsterdam or most major cities. So, no problem.
Right. Brilliant. Brilliant.
Yeah.
So, you've been coming up with some interesting things in the chat room. And we're talking about, let's keep the topic.
I can't find an audio feel. Sound is really my thing.
Yeah. Are you a sound engineer?
Sort of. I'm a sound designer. So I'm a postgraduate sound designer. So I studied sound design, but it involved also a lot of computer software and writing my own software for musical instruments. And let me see. I did a lot of things with sounds and theater work. I wrote my software to translate images from webcams and translate movements into sounds. And I'm also I was always involved during college to map data into sound. So I was mapping stock data into sounds, weather data into sounds, and these kind of things.
Wow, have you got any samples of that?
Wow, it was a long, long time ago.
All right, and I'd love to hear the sound of the stock exchange.
I spent more time researching and thinking about theories and concepts than working out examples, because working out an example doesn't take much effort. But you need a really good idea. And I didn't want to do things without thinking about it. So I spent a whole lot of time thinking about these things, basically, researching. And then you come across a new data and you analyze it, and then you try to find how that would fit in with your search and what you are looking for. And I had to write papers and more papers and more papers. So that was during college. And then when I was graduated, I wrote some software for theaters. And we did 2 or 3 years. We did some performances with dancers. Can you still hear me, by the way?
Yes, I can hear you. Absolutely. Okay. Wall to wall. Fantastic. It just sounds like you're in the next country along.
Yeah. Okay. The interesting thing, recently, I discovered some things.
Excellent.
And this is something that relates. Well, back in the days, maybe you know that you had the DX7 synthesizers from Yamaha. And then you could create your own sounds by stacking sine waves. So they called it that additive synthesis.
Yeah, so that's like the very early synthesizers, which
that's
were patchboardy.
Yes.
You know, you'd have you could only play one note at a time, but you'd have oscillators, and you could have different oscillators in different frequencies, and you could add them all together, and that's called additive.
Additive synthesizers. So you add oscillators, and an oscillator was called. I just lost the word.
An
operator. So often you had like 4 or 6, and later you had 8 operators. So with only 4 sine waves, if you know the relation in harmonics of a certain sound, of a trumpet sound or violin sound, you could make that sound digitally.
And it's a mathematical process, isn't it?
Yeah, you need to know about
harmonics.
Harmonics, odd harmonics, and even harmonics, and how that would work and how that interrelates. But there are a lot of books about that. But recently I discovered something by accident by studying Pythagoras and sacred geometry and the Fibonacci sequence. It happened intuitively. Something taught me I had to write this software that didn't stack sounds like I was taught in high school or in college, but to use a ratio for it. And I used the Fibonacci ratio to stack my sounds. And so I wrote a little piece of software that created basically 6 sounds, which are stacked. But half of those layers are the same frequency, so you have only 3 sounds, but each sound is doubled and is shifted in phase. And you have a bass frequency that you enter in my software, and then the second frequency and the third frequency is an harmonic of the bass frequency.
Right.
But it has a ratio based on the Fibonacci ratio.
I see. So rather than two thirds, is it two?
Normally, the first harmonic of a sound is a doubling of the frequency.
Yes.
And the one divided by the frequency.
Yes.
It's a mathematical thing, but Pythagoras inspired me to use the Fibonacci ratio. And I just wrote the software and I just tried it out, and then I was amazed about the sounds that came out of it, because a sine wave is a pretty boring sound.
Mm-hmm.
And by stacking these three sine waves with these ratios and then doubling them for your right and your left speaker, and then shifting them in phase also with the Fibonacci sequence ratio, then you got interesting rhythm patterns in the sounds, and you could just sit there and listen to them for hours, and they keep being interesting. So
I know what you were talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I guarantee that not many people else did. So let's see if I can translate that. That you had a piece of software that instead of using the standard mathematical ratios to create sounds by harmonic mathematical relationships. So, you know, we're talking about a synthesizer making a sound, for instance, like a trumpet. And you can break the sound down into a various number of sine waves. This is known as the Fourier transformation. After the mathematician Fourier, he can break down any waveform into a series of sine waves. Once you do that, then that's how the sound is created. And then by finding the relationship between those sound waves, you can create something that approximates to the sound that you originally heard. So you take a trumpet sound, you use Fourier transform to deconstruct it into a series of frequencies, and then use a synthesizer to reconstruct it.
But that's the backwards way, but you're right, because Fourier transfer is telling us that you have to look at the cosine parts of a sound, of a complex sound, and the sine parts of a complex sound. But a cosine and a sine are the same, but they are shifted in phase. So that's why I came up to shift sounds, my frequency, in a phase. And I had ability in the software to easily use different phase shifts. So why not use the Fibonacci sequence as a phase shift?
So you were phase shifting at 1.618 seconds?
No, that's the ratio related to the three sounds, but I'm shifting with the Fibonacci numbers.
Ah.
So I have a step sequencer that I can use to go to those numbers. And depending on which number it is, it gives a rhythm pattern with the two sound waves.
One moment, Modius, I will translate. Okay, so by adjusting the phase, which is the relationship between what point in time each wave starts leaving the center line, that's called the phase, is the difference between those two things in each speaker. By adjusting that phase and adjusting the phase using a Fibonacci number, which is a number that is in the Fibonacci sequence. You should all be familiar with the Fibonacci sequence by now, but basically if you take the first two numbers, 1 and 1, add them together, they make 2. You add 1 and 2 to make 3. You add 2 and 3 to make 5. You make 3 and 5 to make 8. And you add 5 and 3. Are you getting the idea? So you keep going like that, and when you get to about 217... the number starts to converge. It starts to very much become a single number that is somewhere around the 1.61818 range or something. I can't remember.
Yes. We have an interesting question from Ron. He's asking what hertz the sound wave is at. And that was basically my intention of the software. I just want to input one frequency to make it simple. I just want one frequency, and then I want to create a beautiful sound. But one frequency is not a beautiful sound. So that's what my software is doing. I can just enter a frequency. You can enter a right frequency if you like, or any frequency you prefer. And then it will make a soundscape out of it, like a droning sound.
Mm-hmm.
A very meditative sound. And I'm basically now in the process of, yeah, what next? I can make, I can add more to it, but I don't want to add things to it without it being necessary. So
right.
I add filters or whatever, but...
Well, let's hope that Shari's going to come on in the next hour and we can talk with Shari, because... she's the master of frequencies, if you like. I don't want to say mystery. You know,
you gave me some ideas by playing those harmonic chantings. Because
uh-huh.
if you have a filter with resonance, you can make those kind of effects also. And I think they are beautiful and very powerful sounds. Because also, I believe the shamans have this mystical instrument that you a tube, a flexible tube that you twist in the air, and they also make these resonant harmonics, almost like those resonant chanting you played earlier.
I love that stuff.
Those overtone singing.
Yes,
I believe
David Hikes and the New York Harmonic.
I think I will be able to make a filter that does the same in software. So that's maybe a future thing to build.
You might try just doing it yourself, actually, because it's really good.
Well, basically, we had a workshop during college on doing overtone singing.
Mm-hmm.
So I can sing like that, but I want to make a filter that makes the same kind of effect on the sounds I generate now with the software.
All right, cool. So just go through that process once again. You take your bass frequency, and then what are you doing with it?
Well, then I have a controls interface written for it, so I can adjust the volume of each harmonic, so then you can tweak the sound a little bit, so you can make the bass harmonic come more in, or the second or the third harmonic come in if mm-hmm. you want, and you can switch between the Fibonacci number that it makes the phase shift of each frequency in the sound.
Mm.
It sounds rather complex, but the software basically is quite simple.
So, have you got a demonstration? Have you written the software?
I don't have sound files generated yet, because every time I want to listen to it, I just start up the software. And then it works, and I can be inspired by my daily feeling, and then adjust a little bit or enter a frequency, and I'm in the process of just listening to it, and there are so many possibilities of creating sounds with this software, this simple type of software. I'm in the process of figuring out what works best and for what purpose am I mm-hmm. making this? Is this a healing tool, or is this just a meditation tool?
Well, it's interesting, you know. Are you going to make it available to people?
Yeah, sure. But the problem also always is you can't measure it. And I always want proof if what I'm doing is correct. But I believe what I have now is pretty impressive. To me, it is. So it feels good, but I don't want to sell to people, oh, this is a healing sound, without it being maybe like that. So for now, it's just a tool for me to explore. But I'm willing to make it public, no problem.
Mm. Hey, could you record some MP3 files and we could maybe make them available on the website?
Yeah, nice idea.
Yeah. You know, I could give you some frequencies. Well, I'd start with 432.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a nice one to. What frequencies have you been putting into the software that obviously that they, you know, the minute you switch the thing on, you're in another zone.
Yes. Well, the interesting thing is if you just play one frequency of one sine wave and you listen to it and you adjust the frequency, then you intuitively know which frequency is nice to listen to and which one isn't. And the 440 hertz, which is our basic tuning nowadays, is not a pleasant frequency to listen to.
No.
When you adjust it lower or higher, then you feel, hey, this is a little bit more pleasant, but it's still a sine wave. And 432 is indeed a nicer harmonic frequency, of a nicer frequency. And I believe also Pythagoras stated that 432 hertz is related to the cosmos, which is the harmonic frequency of the cosmos. And but basically, I tried 432 or the half of it, or a multiply of it, or just numbers that can be divided by two. But basically, there are a lot of options, which makes it difficult for me to make this decision to, well, let's make a recording out of it. Because what frequency are you going to use?
Mm. Well, let's just talk about what Shari has spoken to me about in the past, and we can maybe piece something together. One of the things she says is that everybody has their unique frequency, and that in 80% of the cases there is a relationship between their date of birth and that frequency. So that's a very interesting thing. In 80% of cases, so
each person is different.
Each person has their own signature sounds, their own signature frequency. Yes, and. It's
well, the way I like to explain it is the healing frequency has to do with a body resonance, and we all are different in height or in body mass, and I think the body mass and will determine the resonance frequency. That's my hypothesis.
Here's the thing, Rodius. You see, when I'm doing my show, I read people's rays, and the rays, the frequency. It's just, you know, it's like saying, you know, it's a color, and you know that, you know, there are different shades of red and different shades of green and blue, etc., and those correspond to different frequencies in the space between the notes, you know, between the notes of, you know, concert A, concert B, etc. There's a kind of infinite space between them where everybody can fit, and everybody, and, you know, I'm sure they know about this, but this is like our soul note. There's a frequency in there that comes from inside us. Now, have you worked with tinnitus?
Tinnitus, no.
No?
What's that?
Well, where you have a whistling in the ear.
No. All right. Doesn't ring any bells.
All right. I'm going to be speaking about that. But basically, what Shari was saying is that everybody's got their own frequency. What I talk about are the seven rays, and that's about the frequency as you manifest. That's your, you know.
I think she is correct, but if you think about the healing process, even though everyone has their own frequency, don't you think there is just a particular frequency that has a healing effect? Does it differ for each person, because the Tibetans have these Tibetan balls and they are basically tuned in a certain frequency.
What's that frequency?
You can just use a tuner, a guitar tuner, and play some Tibetan bowl music, and you get the frequencies. That's what I did, and that's how I also noticed that the 432 comes very close to a Tibetan bowl harmonic, and the 440 hertz does not.
Right, I see what you're saying. Yes.
But there are a lot of lower frequencies, like half of 432 or around that part in Tibetan bowls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it goes all the way down to 108. If you divide 432 by 4, so that's 2 octaves below, you get to 108, and 108 is the number of beads in the Tibetan mala, in the prayer beads. So 108 is a specific frequency and a sacred frequency to the Tibetans, a sacred number. And it's also, I would say, the exact resonant frequency of the granite so-called sarcophagus in the pyramid. I would say that was exactly what frequency it would resonate at.
It's something that boggles me lately. It's about thinking about why would they change the concert tuning to 440 hertz? And what is the deeper meaning and the deeper understanding of that? And wouldn't it be possible that they tried to make a change in how do you say that? Because people say, well, it's only a couple of hertz, it's only 8 hertz difference, you can't hear the difference of 8 hertz. That's maybe true in a song which has complex sounds, but if you play the pure sine wave, you can definitely hear the difference between 440 and 432.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to use this junction right now to add Shari to our call. We'll work with this because...
Hello.
Hello, Shari. How are you?
Hello.
Hello. Turn up your volume. Have you got your headphones on? There you are.
Hello.
Hello, we can hear you.
Oh, okay. I just didn't hear anybody talking back to me.
Could you not?
No.
Oh. We've been here all along.
And all alone.
Oh.
It's on my schedule wrong. It's on there from 8 to 10.
No. You've no idea how many times I've confirmed this with your people. Sacked a lot of them. Oh, well. Actually, I shouldn't joke like that, should I?
Well, after what happened on my show today, that might happen.
Oh, my God. So, you've had a bit of a day. Oh, bless your heart. So, have you got a cup of tea there, Shari? Have you got...
Yes.
Yeah, are you, you
yes.
Okay. So,
I think she has the times mixed up because she told our guest 2 hours off. So
she's in another time zone still.
I think so.
Bless her heart. She's got her own time zone, personal thing. Well, this is what's happening. You know, the world is going to, everybody's getting their own time zone because everybody's got their own frequency, haven't they? And this, I'll just fill you in on where we've been at. This is Modius, by the way. And Modius, Shari Modius.
Hello. Hello. To hear you.
So you guys have gone half without me. That's okay.
Yeah. Well, we have something going on. Modius is he's from Holland, and he's a sound designer. Okay. And I bet I just heard your eyebrow raise there. He creates sound software and devices, and he's been talking about a piece of software that will create frequencies that are related to a bass frequency through Fibonacci relationships. Have I got that right, Modius?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you use this for healing, or what do you use it for?
It's in an experimental process. I'm not using it yet. It's just for myself, for meditation now. But I have a feeling it could be used as a healing tool.
Well, once you've got the thing to a kind of suitable level, why don't you let Shari have a go of it, and see what Shari can play with, because your work is about finding the frequency, Shari. Say that there's a few people in the audience who have never heard of you and never heard about what you can do. Could you just give a very, very nutshell kind of thing about how we can be healed with sound and frequency?
Are you talking to Modius or me?
You, my dear, you.
Okay, yeah. Nutshell. Think of your brain as the central processing unit and all of the neural network in the body, all the nerves, as an extension of that brain that runs on math. And we've just found a way to tap into that math that can be divided into frequencies of notes, like A is 440. So we just found a way to tap in and to change, modify, add to the frequencies of your body to make your body do what it should have done in the first place. One of the things that I think people could relate to is young men going through puberty, where their voice changes in relationship to hormones. Well, the same kind of thing, except we just look at it with vitamins and minerals and genes and toxins and biochemistry. Was that enough of a nutshell?
Perfect. So,
I was muted.
How was that, Modia?
Well, for my background, I'm thinking about not only what I've learned about in sound design. In a complex sound, there are frequencies. But the most important is the rhythm of the cosine and the sine parts in a complex sound wave. You have like a carrier, something has to carry message, maybe a tempo or something tempo related.
Sorry, my English is not that well.
So a tempo related function. Tempo is the speed of the music.
I believe you can have frequencies that can heal, but also music that can heal. And music is not just frequency. Music has to do with melody, and melody has a rhythm aspect in it.
That's a very interesting thing.
I'm exploring that aspect also in my software, and that's what the phase shift does. It creates rhythms on the Fibonacci number,
Well, I look forward. Oh, sorry, Shari. Have you got enough data points? I know what she was doing. I know what she's doing. you're echoing all back all over the place. You know, I know what you're doing.
But I have to make some examples, then it would be much easier to explain.
Yes, that would be great.
The software is quite simple, but the output is pretty complex in sound. And somebody asked if you could use it mono, because I use a stereo setup, but it works very well mono also. And if I play my sounds in mono on my speakers, the weird thing is, if you move around your position in the sound field, the soundscape will change just by moving your position in the sound field.
And that's all about the phasing of things.
And that's in mono.
In mono. That's
in mono. Mm. Yes.
Standing waves. So, Sherry.
There is a relationship here, because when we provide somebody back their own sound, we also provide it in a very specific
rhythm. The rhythm that we use right now is to make it go through the skin, but we have other rhythms that will target each of the organs. When we look at this, you can also equate it to heart math, that the heart is the rhythm, but the brain is the frequency, and the two together is what creates the doorway into allowing the sound to get to the brain and entrain the brain. Now, if people are think, oh, we're talking over their head, think about singing Mary Had a Little Lamb to the tune of Three Blind Mice, and then you see the problem. That rhythm and the frequencies and the notes all have to move together.
Yeah, that's got to be in concert.
Yes.
Yes. So,
well, in harmony.
Yes.
With each other, yes.
And harmony is a degree of mathematical relationship. This is what Modis is talking about. I'm sorry, folks, but you know, this we've got some fifth ray energy here in the studio, and it's gonna get tech.
Well, I just remember what I tried to explain.
Yes, go on.
Before Cherry came on, about why would they change from 432 to 440 hertz concert scale? And my hypothesis is that they have changed the carrier frequency of the message of music that is conveyed.
Yeah, because 432 is a relationship of 2 and 3.
If you listen to a song, a music, you wouldn't notice much difference, but the message is conveyed on a different carrier level. It's tuned different. And I think it's in that direction that I think it has to do with why they decided to change that concert tuning.
Well, Shari, yeah.
One of the things you can consider is that the heart, the bundle of His, which is a little battery that keeps the rhythm of the heart, runs at 3 cycles per second. So you look at 3 and then double 6 and 12 and 24 and on and on. And one of the issues you look at in some of the Pythagorean numbers is they said that he said the note of F sharp is a multiple of 24, really a multiple of the heart rhythm. So when Pythagoras is putting all this together and you translate it or look at it into color, because people really have a problem understanding 16 is the opposite of 23 mathematically. And all I said was in number fashion is that green is the opposite of red. But in Pythagoras' time, they used light reciprocals instead of red and green as being opposites at C and F sharp. They said 16 and 24 are opposites, and that's C and turquoise, which is the light opposite. We talk about this in music. We talk about it in frequency. We talk about it in color. But it's all the same thing because it all goes to the brain from different organs and then reaches the brain in different layers, and the brain interprets it based on what range it came into the brain. You look at color and it comes into the trillion cycles per second, and the brain interprets that as visual input. Same with your ears. The ear hears it mechanically. It's changed into electrical chemical energy sent to the brain, and the brain says, I received that in this range of, like, I don't know, 20 to 20,000 cycles per second. 20 is way low, and 20,000 will hurt you. Up about 12,000, it starts to hurt. But the ear translates that and even translates some things to the brain that we don't actually hear, like brain, like dog whistles. Your ear doesn't hear that, but your brain will register it. You can watch it happen. So those different ranges can be layers or octaves of frequency, but it's all the same note, like 440 and 220 and 110 and 55 and on down even to the brainwave ranges, which is about 0 to 64 cycles per second that they measure and tell you, oh, that's an alpha wave or a beta wave or a delta wave. So it's the brain that's picking up and interpreting the sound, whether it's or the frequencies, whether it's your ear, whether it relies in color, whether it relies as kinetic energy or vibration. It's all there as a frequency, and the frequency relationships are what's important. There are some standard ones like the Fibonacci, but everybody has their own range of notes and their scale. And if their A scale, for them in particular, if their A is 440, but the other notes that go with 440 are off, then that's when we see disease. I should look up a scale here and
show you what it means.
So have you come across this discrepancy between this 432 and 440 difference there, Shari? Have you actually measured, you know, whether one's more healthy or whether they do affect the health or what? You know, by listening to music in that way?
It depends on the individual. So if we say as a brainwave multiple, 27.5 is the note of A. That's just you do 110, 55, and then 27. Even if we did 55 and looked at 55 as a brainwave multiple, well, my note of A is not 55. Let me see what my note of A is. I'll have to multiply it up. My note of A is 54.96. Now, things that try to yank me to the note of A that's a musical scale, which is really what the Catholic Church and other people are trying to do. Let me back up a step here and say there was a French guy who did a study that said in the language, if you take any of all the notes of C that someone said in French, their note of C would be that average. In the German, it's a little different. And in Peruvian music, it's a little different still. So it's the language of the people that dictates their most comfortable zone music. My note of A controls my ability to use my eye focus. If I can't use the pure note of 55, I have to back it up at 54.96 for my eyes to begin to use that frequency to be able to see well. And I only discovered that because when I went to London, I did not need glasses. And in London, the natural resonance of the note of A there was slightly off for me. Remember that my ears hear sounds from shape. And my husband can be up in the barn, which is 500 feet from us, at least, and he can shut the barn door, and I can feel that change in air pressure because I feel the change in space. And I know before he ever hits the door of the house that he has left the barn and shut the door.
There is a disturbance in the force.
Yes.
Yeah, so
absolutely.
So yeah, so I mean, you feel sound, you see sounds, you experience sounds in what people call kinesthesia. You know, you
yes.
smell sounds. There are all sorts of things that happen with that, because it's like somehow your operating software allows you to read other things, like we were saying before, like a color or a smell, you'll be able to experience those things as sounds. Is that right?
Well, I think so. What they call it is synesthesia, for me at least, because there'll be sometimes when I'm really tired, and the sounds, well, it's not sounds that come out of people's mouth to me, it's color. So I'll know what's going on. But if I'm awake and alert, I can tell by the frequencies of their voice. And it's related to the relationships of the notes. And the relationships are related to space and the shape of a room. And it's also related to color. It's frequency is dot, dot, dot. You know, frequency is everything, and sound is just one way that we measure frequency.
Hmm.
But when you look at the brain interprets incoming messages, and they say it quits at about 60 cycles per second. Actually, if you really look at it in octaves of color, it stops at 64. It's all multiples of 2.
Yeah.
Well, 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, and so forth. And that's the Avogadro scale. But there is a different scale, the Fibonacci numbers, and starts with the same way. 1, 1, 2, 2 and 1 is 3, 2 and 3 is 5. So it's all in a rhythm or a scale. Mm-hmm. Plants love this numbering system, and Rupert Sheldrake has done a lot of work with it in changing the sequence of the numbers, and he can change the colors of the petals, the shape of the petals. What we're doing is changing those things in a human or even animals, because we work with a lot of animals. But it's taking us back to optimal form and function, because at the same time, you're looking at electricity, which is a frequency. You're looking at the frequencies of food.
I'm going so many different directions here. You're looking at the frequencies of the shape of the room, the people that are in it, the emotions that you're having, the air that you breathe. It all can be broken down into sequences. And there's not one perfect sequence that would match every person on the planet. We each have our own. And one of the problems, even with the Catholic Church, is when they tried to outlaw the devil's triad, which they outlawed this relationship of C and F sharp, which at that point you're looking at 16 and 24 cycles per second for brainwaves, at least. And they did that, I think, because those particular relationships give you dominion over your body if it's put in music. The body begins to thrive on those relationships, but the Catholic Church needed to be paid for their intervention, so they decided to not allow you to have that number mixture so that they could be the ones that said, here's the healing, not you.
Here's the thing, Sherry. The diatonic scale does indeed have a tritone in it. And it's like the old trick of telling you you can't have something, but giving you something of their own.
Yes.
So there is that relationship within the diatonic scale. So it's the one from, because otherwise it would be a pentatonic and it would be harmonic. But it's from the fifth to the major seventh is a tritone.
Well, sometimes I think about color and sound in a slightly different way than a musical scale would.
Yeah.
If I look at the bass note of C and its opposite F sharp is the sixth, then G to me is the seventh and F is the fifth. Is that how you're speaking about this?
I'm talking about what they call degrees of scale, which is like do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. So it's going C, D, E, F, G, A, B.
Okay, but
so it's the relationship. So what I'm saying is that the relationship between C, D, E, F, G and B is a tritone, isn't it?
The relationship between G and B is a tritone.
Hang on, no.
Having to draw a map here.
No, I'm drawing a map in my guitar, and that's not right. I'm not correct there. Let me see. C, D, E, F, G, A, B. Yeah, G and B. No, that's not. That is a tritone. What am I talking about?
Do you mean a dirge? I don't understand the word tritone.
Tritone is it's a minor fifth.
See, I'm musically illiterate, so I have to translate all this into math in order to and patterns in order to understand it.
Right, that's a scale of C. But the and the scale of C, if it was a pentatonic, would be like this. Nice and harmonic, yeah. But then the Catholics introduced the diatonics, which is these two notes, which, as you can hear, is the note of F and B, not G and B, F and B. I'm sorry. So by introducing those, we get our familiar diatonic scale, but contains this discord. Interesting, eh? That's got your tritone, but it's shifted the tritone. Instead of being...
The second one that you did with all the harmonics in it, I could feel that in every cell of my body.
That one?
That one, yeah, just resonated absolutely throughout my body. So whatever that is, it's close to where I am with my particular frequencies.
All right. And that's the tritone. But it's the tritone that is, it's modulated. So it's a tritone with an F and a B rather than the C. This is the tritone of the C scale. And that's a F sharp, yes, as you say.
Well, that sounds not harmonic to me, but my body loves it.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
I love to play in F sharp. Mm. And I made some research, and to me, from my understanding, F sharp relates to the solar plexus. It's 364 hertz, 728 hertz. And the C relates to the heart chakra, from my own personal research. And it's are nice numbers, 128 hertz, 256 hertz, and 512 hertz, if you take into account the 432 tuning.
People are arguing about this all over the world. You know, 528 is this wonderful thing, and this note is this wonderful thing. It really depends on the individual. And I think if we could somehow suck us all backwards, we're going to find out that the people with like tuning came from a like tribe or a like group, because that's what they attune to. But I can't prove that. I think it's...
That's a very, very good theory, Shari. I think you could have... I would say that this tuning is relative to your DNA.
I think so. But there are commonalities. Everybody's heart has this bundle of His that's at 3 cycles per second.
And if it's off, then your heart is not beating correctly and is arrhythmic. But that's true in almost every society. 3 cycles per second. And then what's based on that 3 cycle multiples?
That's very interesting, because I remember reading about that from Pythagoras. Yes.
You begin to look at things like bone. And bone is a constant relationship. Like, we have sets of numbers that will not only set a bone, but it'll heal it in very short time. So it'll move it over and set it. And we've accidentally done this on animals. My dog was shot in the leg. And so it wasn't really an accident. We just didn't plan it. And we used the sounds. But people who've broken their legs, collarbones, little kids and their collarbones, we use multiples of 3 cycles per second, and the collarbone begins to move into the natural position, and there's no scar tissue left on the bone. So in all these experiments that we have done with these different octaves, we're able to look at the relationship of an octave, like 1.5, 0.75, 1.5, 3, 6, 12, and so forth. each of those relate to a different layer, octave range in the systems of the body. But like I said, not everybody is a 432 or a 440 or a 444. You find that person's scale, and then you begin to look at the relationships that are out of tune within that scale. And if somebody has two or three scales within their body, they are, well, they tend for us to be more aware on different layers or levels of the body. You get somebody that's very awake and aware in their voice on two or three levels, then you have somebody who has a slightly higher IQ. They can think from many different directions at once. On the other side of that, they may be ADD or not able to handle all the incoming information. We looked at, it was a yogi person, and he was Donald Walters, and we looked at his voice, and he was open on seven layers. He's the most open person I'd ever seen. He runs an ashram, Ananda Village, and he was very comfortable talking to the trash guy in the morning and to God at noon. He could talk on all of these layers and levels and keep everything straight from his external talking, from voice out. But that also meant that he was awake and aware on all of those different levels within his body. And if the heart runs at 3 cycles per second and the liver runs at 18, and we're looking at different octaves. So it's a math matrix of here, one, identify what their scale is, and then identify what notes within that scale are tuned.
Wow. That's great information there, Sherry.
That's a big picture.
So it's all about three.
Well, for the heart.
For the heart.
And the circulation.
And the heart is the soul, and the soul is love, and love is three, and love is two, and love is one. It's beautiful. I love it. So,
I find it because in the old days, they had three-chord songs. And we say with three bars in a measure, often in the music.
The waltz.
The waltz, yes.
And I tell you, if you put on, and I did, if there's two people in the room, no matter what their gender is, and you put on the Blue Danube Waltz, you just want to dance with them. It just the music lifts you right up. It's fantastic.
For me, it's flamenco music that does that. It just makes my feet want to dance. So I must have some gypsy in me someplace.
Yeah.
Also the reggae music with the triplets.
The what music?
The reggae music.
Reggae music, yes.
The triplets.
Yes, the reggae music and all African-based music has a heartbeat embedded within it. And it's like it becomes a beast. It becomes a being with its own heartbeat. I love it. I used to love going to sound systems, you know, those, they got massive, like 6-foot-high, massive speakers that you can stand in front of because they don't hurt. You can just feel the sound going through your body.
I think because different cultures have different rhythms and different ways to put the notes together, that's how we've come apart from each other. As these different groups find their niche. But at the same time, like classical music and the classical way music is put together, that tunes to most of us. You know, classical music stays because it's very mathematical. This note from that note equals half of that note and so forth. But when you look at all of this, you look at DNA. Are you familiar with Susan Alexandra. She has written music based on the DNA and the frequencies of it. I think it's the notes of A, B, C, and D, and then she begins to combine them
in different ways to create the other notes, and it's very haunting, and it's very recognizable. Let me see if I have any of her music.
I love this, this whole relationship between being able to make music and represent certain realities through that music in a very direct way, not just in a kind of metaphorical way, but it actually does represent these examples.
I don't have her music, but you could look at it online, called Sequentia, and from that, different layers and levels of music begin to create themselves, just like in the beginning when you looked at frequency. And instead of guessing, I'm going to look this up, because there's relationships with the primordial elements. And if you look at hydrogen minus water, it equals estrogen. And you look at water minus hydrogen at a different level, it equals nitric oxide. And water plus oxygen equals potassium, acetyl salt. And just from the beginning of looking at hydrogen, sulfur, I think it's ammonia, and oxygen, then you can begin to combine these elements into other things in our chemistry, like the level of 2. The level of 2 is the biochemistry of oxygen. So 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128. So it's a C. So when you look at that, you can begin to realize that the note of C deals with respiration, oxygenation, and the biochemical of cell life and death based on how well they're oxygenated. It's just math. And we've used math very creatively to have sound and to have color. It's just that evolution of layers and levels through our evolution that it becomes a thing, something solid. Wait, yes, there's a long shot.
I agree.
But that is a long show. If anybody would like this banner that we've done about this, they could just write to me at sherryedwards@gmail, Sherry, S-H-A-R-R-Y, and I will send them this little chart that we've done on how the universe began to be created, and first out of movements and combinations of these primordial elements. And you can watch it as it evolves up into a creation, that we begin to be the creators and have children and estrogen and follicle stimulating hormone. The math of evolution of the universe and the math of the evolution of our own bodies is so incredibly combined and created.
What were you saying about follicle stimulation, Sherry? That one slipped by.
Like right now, we have frequencies bombarding us from outside the Earth. And today happens to be the frequency for the follicle stimulating hormone. And so that all deals with getting the egg ready and ovulation. It's also, today is thiamine, so we can say people who have problems with edema are going to have more problems today than, I don't want to say than normal, but these frequencies from outside the Earth are bombarding the Earth, and NASA and Motorola both have been following them. So we have this universal information about how our whole universe and beyond was, I shouldn't have said beyond, was created out of these frequencies, and we don't know where they're coming from, but we know that they affect the Earth's tides and moon spots and things like that. We also know that they affect people and the water content of the people. And today, for May 12th, we know that the keynote is a note of C, that would be C sharp, and it relates to fatty acids. So people who have problems with weight or arthritis are going to be affected. It relates to adrenal obesity. So those frequencies, those are the things that we've decoded, and we know what the frequencies relate to in the body. And that's what we measure, and that's the computer programs that we give away to people in hopes that they can look at their own frequencies and see where the lack of harmony is or isn't.
You know,
when you bring in music and you fix it.
What's interesting, or what interests me, have you got a huge database of people and their frequencies now?
Absolutely.
That must be interesting to mine around in and to query in different ways now. I mean, how many years of practice have you got now?
Oh, about 30. But I'm incredibly curious about what motivates people. We just did a thing on Bradley Manning. You know, they've kept him under wraps. He's the young soldier that gave away the information to WikiLeaks. And nobody really knows what his motivation was. But his vocal print will tell you exactly what his motivation was and what it is now and what his mental state is. I just love satisfying my curiosity.
So spill the beans. what was it? I mean, we're interested in Bradley Manning. He's a hero to us.
Well, let me look up. I think I remember some of it by, here's by pretrial information. I've got to look it up. Let me do it by memory. Has an incredible rate on the note of E. Now, the note of E is the diaphragm, the expression of oxygen. Oxygen at a cellular level, it works with the note of D sharp, but the E is the words. And he has an absolute reverence for truth of words, and he can't stand to see words distorted. It's a geeky thing, but it's also an absolute reverence for language. And when he heard the United States government lie so much about what was going on in these other countries, and he saw the cover-up of this helicopter killing these innocent people on the ground, at that point, he didn't even think about covering up anything or whatever. He just knew that language, the truth of language, was being raped. The normal rate for the A note is 42, I believe, and he had, I just need to find him on here
let me just fill into the audience what you're talking about exactly. The Shari software divides the frequency band and counts the number of each time one's voice hits a particular frequency, because we sweep through frequencies, you know. Even just saying sweep, the word is a sweep of frequencies. It's going, you know, it's a sweep of frequencies, and so there will be hits on various frequencies as I go down that sweep, and as you speak, different emphases create different kinds of frequency responses that you get. Shari, have you found it yet?
Yes, we look at the voice as a graph, and his information about language and the spoken word is 2,157. That is astounding that his loyalty lies with the words and the truth, the integrity, the intent, and they have to be pure and whole. That's where he was coming from. It wasn't, I'm going to be a traitor to my country. It's that I see language and words being misrepresented.
Well,
I've never even thought about that concept until I saw Bradley Manning's stuff. But that is exactly where he's coming from. He has extreme stress in parts of his voice, F and F sharp, and that's all about adrenals and stress and male hormones and balance between perception and action.
Yeah, so, and he would be stressed, wouldn't he?
Yes, absolutely. But there's zeros there in his voice. So from his voice, where he is, where he was, what his intent is, and his intent is the purity and sanctity of words, almost like there was a reverence for words as an entity.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's like the letter of the law, isn't it?
No, I don't think so. No? This is almost a holy thing.
Yeah.
Because I don't like lawyers and the letter of the law and whatever. They screw it around any way they want to. And Bradley Manning refused to allow the words and the truth to be screwed around by people manipulating the message.
Spin doctors.
Yes, he couldn't stand that because they were hurting his precious words and truth of words.
Yes.
And now, does that fit with anything you know or feel about Bradley Manning, or is that just off the wall for you?
Well, I mean, that's saying that, you know, that he's not in it for himself, that he's actually in it for a higher principle.
Absolutely.
And that's the same principle that you serve and that I serve and that Dave serves, you know, that we all serve. We serve the one, which is the one truth. You know, it's not an absolute thing. It's an energetic thing.
Well, remember the first thing that he put out? It was that video of that helicopter with American soldiers in it, killing people on the ground, children included, and reporter. And they put it out and tried to bury it or tried to spin it in such a way that these American soldiers who did that were not guilty of anything. And that was his first point. And then after that, he began to look at other things that were being mistreated, misdiagnosed, misrepresented.
Yeah.
That's a better word, misrepresented. And he wanted to set the record straight, not for his country, not for to expose somebody. It was the truth of the words, you know, and people lie. If it wasn't a good trait or a useful trait, lying would have died out. But people lie. But I think people spend for greed and maybe money and power. Greed, money, and power. There's probably other things, but there it is. And you can look at greed at CNC Sharp. We've done enough voices to know that CNC Sharp represents ego and greed, and FNF Sharp represents money to people. So Bradley Manning does have a high C, but he has it in fantasy. So somebody has convinced him, or maybe he's convinced himself, that there is going to be some honor in what's going on here. He has a very, very high C, but it's in the wrong octave. People have a primary octave, and depending on your age and your hormones, that octave switches. But there is an octave of fantasy, and it's plus one and plus two, or that many octaves above middle C. So if we're looking at that in frequency, and we look at middle C at like 130, we're looking at 260 and 520. Up around 500 or so, there's where you're going to see fantasy in someone's voice.
So anything really above 432?
Yeah, about there. But
they tell you that people really don't speak up in that range. But if you take that range out of a voice, the voice sounds like... it's not understandable.
Yeah. Well, as a sound engineer myself, you know, whenever I want to make a warm sound, that which blares is around the 1 kilohertz mark. You know, that blaring sound, you often go into a village hall and the sound is bouncing around the walls, and that's all happening at the 1,000 hertz sort of frequency. So it's uncomfortable to be in if you can't stand the truth, and if you can't stand, I think we're talking about a very similar thing, that in that range, people's voices sound annoying when they're in a fantasy world. That's what I'm getting to.
Well, every shape of that courthouse or whatever you went in is, I hear a lot of crackling.
Modius. Modius. Thank you.
So if you shape begin to look at the notes that shapes give off, you can go back into ancient architecture.
Yeah.
So write this down, C, D, E, F, G, A, B, right. In a line. And then beside C, put 1. Beside D, put 9/8. Beside E, put...
Hang on. 1, 9/8. Then what?
E is 5/4. F is 4/3. G is 3/2. A is 5/3. And B is 15/8. Now that's the relationships of the notes. So if you start with C at 100, it really isn't, it's 130. But if you kept the relationship of these 9/8, 5/4 for each of the notes, and then the sharps in between are just an average of those, you could show how shape relates to frequency. We have a high at our office, it's a D sharp, and I love D sharp. And you just go in there and you do a D sharp note, and it'll sing back to you. It'll sing back A. It's opposite, 6 notes away. So I think this is how they figured out some things about the Great Pyramid. I really would like to know more about that, and been trying to dig out some of the shapes and figure them out. But I think the shape of a room, like when we look at 4/3, the note of F, that would be a 12x16 room.
I see.
Would give off the note of B.
Ah, right. So it's the shape, it's the size and shape of it. Very, very interesting. Listen, Chari, we're coming to the end of the only hour that we have together now. So you're just going to have to come back and come back earlier next time. And we'll. But I love you. No, I still love you. And my audience love you. And whatever you have to say, and however long we have it, we treasure those moments. We really do. I'm not being sarcastic at all. It's really. A joy and a pleasure and a delight to have you with us for however long you're around. So, do you have any closing words in the last couple of minutes?
Well, it's fascinating stuff, and it's the stuff we're made of. And when we keep studying about it, we may stumble upon how we became.
Fantastic. And I'd like to thank you, Modius. Chari, your website is Sound Health Options. Go on.
Options. Hey, and we have 3 classes that's up there on BioDiet, and we're going to be giving away some software on Tuesday during happy hour. We're going to give away some allergy detox BioDiet software if people want to join us. And there's radiation software up there right now. And if they want to look at their own frequencies and the balance, they can go to our site, NanoVoice, NanoVoice.org, and that's all free, and the class is free, and the textbook's free. They can just pull it down and use it.
Oh, thank you very much. Chari Edwards, it's been, as I said, a great delight and a pleasure to have you, and we'll have another date soon, okay? Thank you very much. Beyond.